The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
We're up to chapter 30 in the story, where we get to the end of Paul's life. And we see an incredible contrast between Paul and some of the leaders and the people of the day. But before we take a close look, let's ask God to speak to us. Father, I just want to thank you for every opportunity that we have of meeting in a place like that in an incredible freedom. It wasn't free for Paul. It's not free for many of your followers around the world today. Recently, we were reminded that nearly 200,000 Christians have been killed this last 12 months because they just follow you. We don't hear about that in the papers. We don't hear about that in the media. Other things take priority. But Lord, I thank you that your church is made up of ordinary men and women like us who have been captivated by the love of Christ. And I thank you that you take ordinary people and you do extraordinary things. I thank you that you love us and you are for each one of us, and we're not here by chance. And so I just ask this morning that by your Spirit you would speak to us and encourage us in our journey with you. I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to try and imagine that you're living in the first century, about 70 AD, thereabouts. And I want you to think about Rome and the Roman Empire in all of its pomp and its ceremony. And there is a man at that particular time who is emperor. His name is Nero, a famous emperor. And at that time, Paul, towards the end of his journey, has been now incarcerated in a prison. He's no longer under house arrest. He's in prison in the final days, months of his life. And I want to suggest to you that if you were Ray Martin of the day, you'd want to interview Nero. Or if you ran the Sunrise program of the day, you'd want Nero. You wouldn't want Paul. I mean, who's Paul? If you look at the data about Paul, he's not a very prominent individual, and he's certainly not somebody who would capture our imagination if you did encounter him. And you, in fact, you'd be most unimpressed if you saw him. He was stoop-shouldered. He was balding. He had a crooked nose. He had cloudy eyes. Some people think maybe it was cataracts or something like that. But he was just an old man. And Paul kept talking about Jesus as if he was God, even when he was chained to the Praetorian Guard and others. He's an amazing little man, but who's Paul? I mean, a little bit like today, who is a Christian that will get prominence when there's so many other celebrities around. So if you asked anyone in Rome in the 7th decade who will make the greatest impact on the world, would it be Nero or would it be Paul? Most people would have said Nero. Most people wouldn't even know Paul. Nero was married to Poppaea Sabina, a blonde head-turning beauty who bathed every day in donkey's milk. Can you imagine that, ladies? Would you enjoy that? 400 donkeys were kept by Nero just to keep up the supply of milk so Sabina could bathe in the milk every day. She would be dried by swan feathers and massaged with crocodile mucus. Very enchanting, very enchanting. Nero liked soft skin. It's impressive, isn't it? At age 25, Nero deifies himself by erecting a 120-foot statue of himself. And people looked up to Nero, but they looked down to the Apostle Paul. As I said, added to what I've already said about Paul, he had thick eyebrows. He had a body that was covered with scars, and he was an old man. And yet Paul was arguably the most influential author of human history. And if you look at the data and you look at the copies of his writings that have been distributed, no one else gets close. He wrote things like, "Be anxious for nothing," from prison. Or, "Our citizenship is in heaven, not here on earth." He spoke about a love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He asked a question when he was writing to the Roman church. He said, "Who can separate us from the love of God?" And in the next four paragraphs, he goes through a whole variety of things, and the answer to every one of them is nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You see, his ink turned into a scalpel that removed tumours. His ink turned into healing, a healing ointment that brought comfort to Christians that were undergoing immense persecution, and particularly at the hands of Nero. There is historical documents in Roman history of how the burning Christians, as they were died, would be poured over with tar and then put alight, and the light of the Christians lit up Rome of an evening. Jesus was powerfully at work through this little man. You see, he gave words of encouragement to young Christian leaders. He gave words of encouragement to the new churches that were being planted all over that part of the world. Ultimately, he gives guidance. His letters have given guidance to us right down to this day. He never quite recovered from his Damascus Road experience, did he? His favourite word as a result was grace. Everything from God is undeserved. I do not deserve the merit. I do not deserve the favour of God and God's love for me. You can earn salvation, he put it, no more than you can earn a mother's love. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. He wrote so many wonderful things. So it's interesting, isn't it? I don't know about you, but we still have a tendency as people to judge people on first appearance. And it's very hard. I mean, you never get a second chance at a first appearance or a first opportunity or a first impression. But the reality is we do judge people very, very quickly. And I'm thankful that Paul surprised. I was thinking about that through the week and thought about an event back in 2009 that impacted me then. I've watched this clip three times over the weekend. Now, I saw it in the first service, I teared up again. I love the way this lady surprised. I love the way she blew an audience out of the park, as well as the three people who were sitting behind their desks. Have a little listen to this.
Hi, what's your name, darling?
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, where are you from?
I am from Blackburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of... It's a collection of villages. I had to think there.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay, what's the dream?
I'm trying to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change.
Okay, and who would you like to be as successful as?
Elaine Page.
Elaine Page.
What are you going to sing tonight?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from the Miserables.
Okay. Big song.
Yeah? Yeah.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Didn't expect that.
did you? Did you? No.
Susan Pears.
Without a doubt, that was the biggest surprise I have had in 3 years on this show. When you stood there with that cheeky grin and said, I want to be like Elaine Page, everyone was laughing at you. No one is laughing now. That was stunning. An incredible performance. Amazing. I'm reeling from shock. About you two, but
I am so thrilled because I know that everybody was against you. I honestly think that we were all being very cynical, and I think that's the biggest wake-up call ever. And I just want to say that it was a complete privilege listening to that. It was brilliant.
Susan, I knew the minute you walked out...
Simon!
On that stage, that we were going to hear something extraordinary, and I was right.
Not a lot of touch.
Susan, you are a little tiger, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know about that.
You are? Okay, moment of truth. Here's yes or no.
The biggest yes I have ever given anybody.
Amanda?
Yes, definitely.
Susan Boyle, you can go back to the village with your head held high. It's three S's.
Outward appearances and inward power don't always line up, do they? The story of Susan Boyle reminds us not to be fooled by common appearances. And the rest is history, because the next clip, if you go to YouTube, she's singing with the lady that she wants to be like. And they're singing a duet, and you won't keep a dry eye through that either. It's absolutely amazing. You see, the book of Acts gives us the same lesson. When the church appears on the human stage, she looks clumsy, she looks cheeky, M said something like a mess this morning. Chaotic is an expression that's used to describe the church even today. Should be order, but there's all this stuff that's happening that is part of the human fabric and part of our human lives. And the church was disregarded and dismissed by the first people to observe it. But then she began to sing. And 2,000 years later, the church still sings. Now, we face chaos. We face confusion. We face struggles. We face anxieties. We face a variety of imprisonments, just like the Apostle Paul. Sometimes we feel like that is this all there is? I mean, don't things ever get any better? The Christ follower, for example, realizes, though, that above all this, our God has a plan before time. And that plan will continue after this experience here on earth. We may not understand it, but like Paul, we can say this is for God's glory. And it's ultimately going to work out for good, no matter what we go through and what we experience. And while we're challenged and occasionally discouraged, we don't despair, we don't give up, we hang in there, we hold on. The Portuguese have an interesting word. It's the word garra. It's to describe a falcon's claws. It means that people have the ability to hold on no matter what is occurring around them. And we believe that God is working through all circumstances for us. And that he's going to work out his purposes. And sometimes we struggle with that. But it's through those experiences and it's through the life of Paul that we see that as you endure, so you grow. And as you endure through all of life's ups and downs, the reality is God is using all of those experiences, as Paul talks about in Romans 5, to shape our character. I'm speaking tonight at Carawarra and our church plant there, and I'm speaking on the refiner's fire. I'm talking about how all of the suffering and the things that we go through in this life is actually designed and allowed by God to grow us and to shape us. And we have to make choices as stuff goes down. Paul had to make choices. I don't know if you've read 2 Corinthians lately. I don't know whether you've read the list of the things that Paul went through. The beatings, the shipwrecks, the imprisonments, being left for dead, being bitten by vipers, all sorts of things that occurred in his life and his experience. But he was still able, towards the end of his days, to say some incredible things. For example, Paul ended his life very, very well. Nero didn't. You see, Paul wrote a eulogy, as it were. This is what he said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Here he is in chains towards the end of his days on earth, about to lose his head on a chopping block of Nero. And he's able to say words like that. You see, his life, his new life, began on the Damascus Road. And it ended on this chopping block. But Nero, at the age of 29, was lonely and paranoid, just 29 years of age. His second wife killed his first wife. Nero kicked his second wife while she was pregnant and she died. And 4 years after Paul's death, Nero himself committed suicide. Nero was no hero. Paul impacts us to this day. His life impacts us. So we've got to ask a question. What kept him going? What kept Paul going in spite of all of this stuff? How did Paul survive all of the stonings, the whippings, the imprisonment, the betrayals, the abandonment? Some of you have been rejected by others because of your belief in Christ. Some of your family think you're crazy. Maybe you've been under the threat of imprisonment. Maybe not under imprisonment in prison terms, but you're under the threat of imprisonment through rejection and isolation, or people just not wanting necessarily to follow along with your convictions and your stand over certain things. We've got people in this congregation this morning that have lost jobs because they wouldn't do tax-free jobs, because they would reject doing things the way that the world would do things. Perhaps you're not going to be caught out in a storm in the Mediterranean, but you're facing personal storms of another nature. Whether it's in marriage, whether it's in personal life, financial, whatever. Christ's followers face challenges, don't they? Don't we? We face challenges. The Apostle Paul did, and in some of his final words, he shares the secret of his strength. Look at these words in 2 Timothy 1. So do not be ashamed of the testimony. The testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel, because by the power of God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus. This Christ Jesus, he destroyed death. He's brought life and immortality to light. We die, but we live as Christians because of our faith in Christ and because of the gospel. And of this gospel, I, Paul, was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him to that day. I've had a letter from one of our servants and our team, C2C team, just a request. I'm going to be in Jakarta next week at some stage. And the request was, could you possibly make your way down? We're going through incredible testing. 4 or 5 of the young people who have become Christ followers have been abandoned by their family. It have been cut off. Others are being oppressed in horrific ways. We have a brand new family from the international ministry of which I'm a part that have just taken up residence in that city. Their daughter, at this point of time, is fighting for her life. She's picked up a bug and required half of the family to move to Singapore for treatment to try and save her life. People suffering because of the cause of Jesus to this day. And they want us to go and to encourage them. And I take these sorts of words with me because this isn't all there is. What we go through in this life is not all there is. There's a bigger picture. This is preparation for the real life which is to come. And my encouragement is never take your eyes off the one who sees it all and is not caught by surprise by the kinds of things that occur to us, like what happened to Paul. Maybe you're laboring away in relative anonymity. I love Jude's testimony this morning. Love journeying with her as she goes to a place like Greece every year to pick up and to maintain contact. One of the most consistent prayer requests we receive comes from Jude for the families in Greece and from those that she's ministering to. Who's Jude? She's part of our congregation. She's special to us, but she's an ordinary believer who sensed a tug of God on her heart and goes to minister in a place like that. And you may feel the same way. You may wonder, who am I? You know, what I do basically in anonymity. And I've got to say, the things that I'm involved in personally at this point of time, very few people know about. It's the most under-the-radar work that I've ever done in my life, but I consider it to be the most important and most impactful kingdom ministry I've ever been a part of. Such a privilege. But whatever you're doing for the glory of God. You're loving your children. You may be teaching first graders. You're manning a fire station. You're showing up at work. You're faithfully serving your boss, your employer. You're caring for those that are in your employ. You're hanging in there with that grumpy spouse. You're taking it a day at a time. You're honouring God. Life comes with challenges. Life comes with storms. You are a living epistle. That's what Paul said when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 3. He said that we're a living letter that people read. And I remind you of the words that I've used once before in this place. That great gypsy preacher who said there are five gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And there's the gospel according to you, the fifth gospel, and the first four are seldom read. People are reading and watching our lives. And most of us can underestimate how God is going to work through our life. The real change makers are those who are quietly working under the radar, not those walking on the red carpet. They are touching lives and making a difference, one life at a time. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Most of us look awfully ordinary, don't we? And the church, with all her bumps and bruises, looks terribly ordinary. Oh, but just look what happens when we open our mouth and we sing. There are no St. Nero cathedrals. People don't call their sons Nero. Lots of people are named Paul and Pauline. Who are the real difference makers in the world? Not the spotlight seeking, attention seeking, attention craving celebrities. It's the ordinary Pauls and Paulines of this world who are making a difference for eternity. Only the church has been given the story of God's grace. Only the church. And let's, like Paul, motivated by God's grace, endure all forms of hardship or struggles. Let's persevere and bring glory to God. Let's finish well, like the Apostle Paul finished. In the book of Acts, this is what excites me the most. It still continues to be written. And it's the story of the church. It's the story of our local church. And guess what? You're a part of it. You're a part of the story. Let's bow together in a moment of prayer. Father, some of us are considering the claims of Jesus. And I want to thank you that Jesus died for every one of us in this place today. And he desires that we follow him, that we accept him, and that we trust him. Lord, if you've spoken to anyone, if you've been speaking to us about our relationship with you, I pray that we'll take hold of what you've done for us and that we'll enjoy the excitement of being an ordinary Christ follower. Lord, for all of us, we go through different experiences. We can't say Paul's life was a smooth ride. And our lives aren't either. God, we're in need of your grace. Grace to become a Christ follower. But we're in need of grace to be able to live as your follower. And I want to thank you that nothing this world, or nothing the enemy can throw at us, can separate us from your love and from you. And Lord, I pray this morning that by your Holy Spirit, you would encourage us to see that we can play our part. That as we serve you wherever you have us planted, you can do a work in and through each one of us. And you somehow weave that beautiful thing together into a tapestry that looks beautiful. So Lord, help us surprise. Help us remain faithful. Help us take hold of all that you've done for us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Church, I pray this morning that as you hear that you won't give up. I know life can sometimes be heavy, and it's good that he acknowledges that suffering happens. And so I pray this morning that you can leave here knowing that you are the church spread throughout our city, wherever you're going. If anything impacted you this morning, or if you want to communicate anything to us, text it to the number on the screen, and they will be able to get to us. We can pray for you. We can follow anything up that you need. This morning, if you made a decision for Christ, tell us. We want to know. We want to celebrate with you. I was watching that Susan Boyle's thing thinking, let's get that excited when somebody comes to Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? So yeah, communicate with us. We want to celebrate together. Remember, in your calm life, there's all the things that we talked about and more, so make sure to read that. And then if you're new this morning, we would love to get to know you. So there's a new friends table in the cafe corner back here. Come get a free coffee. Come talk to us, and we can get to know you. Guys, thanks for being here today. Have a fantastic week. See ya.